Good morning, everyone. How you guys doing this morning? Come on now. How you guys doing this morning? Yeah. Stand up and worship with us. We decided to dig deep. We got an oldie but goodie. We're going to start off for you. But let's just lift the name of the Lord. Feel free to clap your hands. Worship the Lord in the way that he leads you to worship him. And we just want you to be free in your worship this morning.
Jesus is alive. Now sure.
I just pray this morning, dear God, that we will follow you. Dear God, we'll hear your call in our life, dear God. We'll follow you in every area of our lives. We'll follow you in our marriages. We'll follow you in our finances, dear God. We'll follow you by being good parents, dear God. We pray this morning, dear God, that you'll just touch our hearts and speak to us, dear God. Dear God, and just I just pray, dear God, that we won't grieve your spirit and that we'll listen to you, dear Lord, and that we'll follow you every step of the way. We love you. In your name and pray. Amen. You may be seated, but as you're sitting down, shake the hands with the person next to you.
Good morning. We're in a series called I Love My Church, and hopefully each week as we've been going through that, that's been a statement you can agree with and that you can just grab hold of, that I love this church, and it's great to be back. I was gone last week. Mark did a great job from what I heard in my absence. He spoke about transformation. My wife and I and family, we were all at the beach being total beach bums all week, so we did absolutely nothing. And it felt good. Let me tell you. We're back. And this morning we're continuing our series. We're going through talking about some of our core values of Cornerstone. So you can get a little bit better idea about who we are. We've talked about truth, how we can use the Bible as our authority of God, in God. How we're a church that believes in grace and we believe in second chances. A church of celebration where we're going to celebrate what God is doing. A church of authenticity who we're real people and we value real relationships. A church that values transformation and we're all growing to become more like Christ. And then this morning, Travis is going to be bringing a message about generosity and how we're going to be radically generous and how we are radically generous as a church. And it's we had a great first service. I know it's 4th of July week. I know lots and lots of people traveling, people gone. But I'm glad you're here this morning, and I pray that you're going to be blessed by what you hear this morning. Just a few quick things to take care of this morning. In your worship guide, a few announcements for you. Just a few things. No youth tonight because of the holiday. We've got a praising in the park, sports camp coming up. Details are in here about that. We also had the privilege to pray with our mission team leaving for Nicaragua. They left this morning right before the first service. So be in prayer for them. They're on, probably still on their way to the airport, if not getting ready to board the plane. So be in prayer for them. They're going down for the week to be serving in northern Nicaragua and Somatia. We've got several people from here going. Just a great opportunity to serve and show generosity by the way they live their life. And so that's going on as well this morning. A couple other things. Look in your seat backs in front of you. There's two things usually that are supposed to be there anyway. One is a response card. And if you're visiting with us, we just ask that you fill that out so we know that you're here. The second thing is an offering envelope. And let me just ask you right now, how many of y'all know the verse? It's Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Does anybody kind of know that? Does that ring a bell? You have it memorized? Maybe? Okay, hope so. Trust in the Lord. Let me read it to you. I've got it out of the New Living Translation here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. You heard that verse before. That he's going to make your path straight. That he's going to show you which path to take. And unfortunately, we usually quit reading right there. But if we keep going, just a couple verses more. It says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will find healing. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. And then verse 9 is the verse that's on the back of our offering envelope. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. And here's the thing. We don't make a huge deal about offering each week. We don't get up and we don't even pass a plate here. But when we talk about being a radically generous church, that is impossible if we are not a church full of radically generous people. And you guys have been awesome in supporting God's work. I just want to challenge you to open your heart to what God wants to teach you this morning. just to really listen, to really think about how you can live your life, as Travis is going to talk about, open-handed, and talk about how you can be a radically generous person. And you can give, I've had people ask me, well, how do you even give at Cornerstone? Well, we've got offering boxes by either door. You can just put your check, your money, and drop it in the box. If you are like me, right now I have zero cash in my wallet. That's pretty typical. If you're under 40, most of you don't have cash, you don't carry cash, you don't write checks. Some of you are even broke, and Travis talked about that too. But we've got a way you can give online, and you can go to our website and find out all the details there. You can sign up. You can have it withdrawn every week, and that's what we do. It's kind of neat. We were at the beach. I was looking there, and I popped up an email and looked at it, and said, you know, your gift to Cornerstone. I'm like, that's cool. I'm not there, but my money is. You know, that's kind of a neat way to do it. We've been doing that for years. It's a great way to support God's work. So just encourage you to check that out as well. But as we continue on in this service this morning, I just want to ask, really, that you just truly open up your hearts this morning, that you allow Travis to speak to you and share with you and hopefully encourage you and challenge you a little bit in the way you live. Would you pray with me right now? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being in this place in your house this morning. And I pray, Lord, that as we go through this service, as we continue in song, as we open up your word, as we are challenged by the message this morning, that you will just transform our life. You will transform us to be more like Jesus, to make us compassionate, kind, and holy. Lord, I pray by the power of the gospel that our hearts would be changed, that our lives would be changed, that you would just work in us and through us. It's in Jesus' name I pray this morning. Amen.
You know, this morning, these last few songs are just about worshiping God. And I know God has just shown himself to me. You know, I talk about being part of a small group. It's just in the small group, God has just shown me, you know, to talk about the Spirit of God, of just areas to give to him. And these next few songs, we're just going to talk about worshiping God. But the last song is a new song that we're introducing this morning. And it's called Our God Saves. And the words are just so easy. It's in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down, as your people sing. We will rise with you, lifted on your wings. And the world will see that our God saves, our God save. There is hope in your name. This is the most awesome part. Mourning turns to songs of praise. I'm going to say that. Mourning, grieving, turns to songs of praise. Our God saves, our God saves. We want you to stand up with us and just join us as we enter into the throne room of God this morning.
Show us who. to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, try.
morning that you save us, dear God, that you are here to save us from any situation that we're in, dear God. And we pray that we'll just fully give our lives to you, dear God. Dear God, you are the great Savior, dear Lord. And I'm just so excited that I can say that you are my Savior. You are my Savior. Praise your name, dear God. I thank you for saving me, dear Lord. You're awesome. And dear God, we just thank you for this time of worship through song. Name we pray. Amen.
That didn't happen first service. I feel like a rock star. All right, my less than baby boomers older than me. Who was that? What's the song? It says something about you. Yep, we're going to talk about money. That's this day when everybody dreads the guy on stage talking about money. So lean over on your wallet. It'll be all right. I got a quote. You know, I've been volunteer firefighter, been busy all week. Finally got 2 hours to work on the sermon at the coffee house, and I got done with the carnival last night about 1. So when you do stuff real fast like that at 1 o'clock in the morning, you get strange ideas. So we're going to open with Pink Floyd. And then I've got a couple of other quotes to close with, and you're never going to hear this in church anywhere else. So let's talk about what the great theologian, let's talk about what Pink Floyd says about money. Money. Get away. Get a job with good pay and you're okay. Money, it's a gas. Grab that cash with both hands and make a stash. New car, caviar, 4-star daydream. Think I'll buy me a football team. And they're English, so that's soccer. So that tells you people do strange things with money. Who wants soccer? I don't understand soccer. But anyway, we're going to talk about generosity. And in order to be generous, you have to give stuff away. And the stuff we have is not really as valuable as we think it is. Let's talk about what Ecclesiastes, what Solomon said, the world's richest man at the time and the world's smartest man at the time. What did he say about money? And I'm going to go out of the message today because the message is good for, if nothing else, you read it in the message. It's not a translation. It's a paraphrase. It's like a conversation like I would talk to you. So at the very least, it makes you go, does the Bible really say that? And then you have to go check out a Bible and say, yeah, I guess it does. So it makes you think. Don't be too upset when you see the poor kicked around and justice and right violated all over the place. Exploitation filters down from one petty official to another. There's no end to it. Nothing can be done about it. But the good earth doesn't cheat anyone. Even a bad king is honestly served by a field. The one who loves money is never satisfied with money, nor the one who loves wealth with big profits. It's more smoke. The more loot you get, the more looters show up. And what fun is that to be robbed in broad daylight? Hard and honest work earns a good night's sleep, whether the supper is beans or steak, but a rich man's belly gives him insomnia. Here's a piece of bad luck I've seen happen. A man hoards far more. Is that similar to lightning hitting the church when you first preached? Okay. Got that over with. A man hoards far more wealth. I look long and hard at what goes on around here. And let me tell you, things are bad and people feel it. There are people, for instance, on whom God showers everything, money, property, reputation, all they ever wanted or dreamed of, and then God doesn't let them enjoy it. Some stranger comes along and has all the fun. It's more of what I'm calling smoke, a bad business. So there's the man who had all the money in the world at the time saying, money's not all it's cracked up to be. It's just smoke and mirrors. You're not going to keep it. It's not going to make you happy. You can be just happy whether you have beans or whether you have steak. And me, I'd take a big bowl of pinto beans and cornbread any day. Look at me. I'm good. Now, what we're going to talk about today is radical generosity. Can I get that picture back up on the thing of our church? We got a series of pictures up here. Truth, grace, celebration, authenticity. So, and well, I've always thought about this. And have y'all seen this with Mike Edwards and Glenn Dixon? I'm wondering who's being more authentic there. So, but we got generosity, and. If you folks can't see it over here, this is a picture of a lot of people gathered in a building that's just like cinder blocks. Cool. Now, somebody tell me where that's at. Some of you Long Cornerstonians? Huh? Where at? Tonalah. We built our first church in Nicaragua before we had a place to meet. We were meeting at where? Oakland School? We were still at Oakland School. And we had to pay, what, $4? Departing markedly from the usual or customary. It's extreme. And number three, favoring or affecting fundamental or revolutionary changes in current practices, conditions, or institutions. And then generous is, one archaic meaning is highborn. You're born of a king. You're a noble. That fits us, doesn't it? If you're a Christian, your daddy is the king. MacDaddy of the kings, king of all kings, lord of all lords. And you're magnanimous and you're kindly if you're generous. So the definition I came up with is extreme and noble kindness geared toward revolutionary change in our current giving practices that rises from and points back to the source of power which is at the base of all things. Leave that up there for a while so I see some people writing. That's cool. I just quoted something and somebody wrote it down. I am an author. How about that? You know, radical generosity, it occurs all over, all the time. But sometimes it's in the world and it's not a church. Because in Houston, Texas, which is the best state in the Union, by the way, it's where I was conceived but not born. I am born on Texas Independence Day, and I have a county named after me in Texas, so Texas is the best state. But anyway, in Houston, Texas, a waiter, his name was Nefertiti Jaquez, lost his car. He's a servant. He's a waiter, and he lost his car in a storm. So his regular customers come in, and they get a $27 meal of soup and wine. Yes, that's right. They drank wine. And they left him a $5,000 tip. They said, we're not going to tip you for a while, but here it is. Go buy a car so you can get back forth to work, because he is having to ride the bus, catch taxis. So they gave him $5,000 for evidently something's going on with the fire department. So God bless all the firemen. Let's pray for them. The world is generous. Sometimes the church, we hold on to our wallets a little bit. We're not that generous. So what we're going to talk about this morning is how to become more generous, how we can do it, why we should do it. Now, I'm going to go through a little bit about this, and my wife corrected me. I'm going to talk a lot about me right now, about what I do, because I'm really generous. And I've done a lot this week. And my wife said, I got a little embarrassed during that part. And what I left out was, after I get to this, you're going to be sitting there thinking, am I a slack or is he bragging? Well, I'm bragging, okay? It's 2 Corinthians 10:17. Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. So that's where I'm coming from. God has made a big change in me. And before, I was not generous. All I was concerned about was me, mine, and myself. In that order. So what I'm going to tell you is how God has worked in my life. And recently he's been working. My daughter Trula was born, and she went to Brenner's Children's Hospital for 10 days when she was 10 days old. And so people started giving us stuff. It happened that on the night of our small group, Bonnie took Trula to the pediatrician for a fever. The pediatrian sent us to ED. The ED said, "You're going to Brenner's Children's Hospital." So at midnight, we were in Brenner's Children's Hospital. Well, the small group brought us our car to Mount Airy. They brought us, they rifled through our house, you know. They got our toothbrushes, they got our clothes, and they took care of us. Then some of our small group said, "I've got these points on a card. Let me get you a hotel room down there so you won't have to drive down at 6 o'clock in the morning for tests." They gave us a room. Then money started showing up. And let me tell you, it ain't quit. Then Trula, after 3 months, we take her back to the doctor, and the doctor says her head's crooked. No, it's not. It is! We never noticed. You know, but when you hold her hair down and really look at it, it's crooked. So we rush off to the doctor. Doctor says you need a helmet. Helmets cost money. It's worth about $20 in material, but it costs, you know, $700 or $800. And so we have to buy this thing. Well, money starts showing up. People start hearing about it. We're on prayer groups in North Carolina, we find out. People are handing us $250 from this church group. Somebody takes up a collection at work. Here's another $200. Culminating with me leaving work one day, somebody hands me an envelope and says, "Here, somebody want me to give you this?" So I go to my car. It's 5:30. Dark. I'm in the parking lot alone. I'm going to open it up, and there's $100. There's another $100. There's another $100. So I start crying. There are 10 $100 bills in this envelope, and I don't know who it's from. You know, and that's God saying, "I take care of you. I'll take care of this." You know, and it went from, a guy calls me during lunch, and so I take my car. His car is dead, and I jump his battery off. And so then I go up above the plant to try and, I try and carve out time to read my Bible. Sometimes it don't work, sometimes it does. But this day, I go up there, and I got 10 minutes. So open Bible, read it, leave my radio or lights on. So try to start the car. The car's dead. And I'm on a hill, so I coast it down, and I'm coasting into work. It just so happens this guy jumped off. He comes driving in while I'm sitting there. Somebody else is jumping me off. So it's like he comes in the office and says, "Here's $100. Go buy a battery." I'm like, "Are you on crack?" And he goes, "No, I never carry cash. I talk to my wife. Go buy a battery." I go buy a battery. Then it keeps on going. People are still giving us money. And the first time this happened was a few years ago. And I think God has been working on us, because who likes to accept charity? Anybody? No, because charity is bad. It means you are powerless to take care of your family. It means somehow somebody needs to help you, especially men, it seems like. Well, about 2 or 3 years ago, somebody brought us a check, $50, says, "We need to give this to you." And we're like, "No, we don't need money. No, we need to give this to you." And that started kind of a humbling process. But I don't remember that in my notes, but the Lord is talking to someone. And you better go roll your windows up, because you're going to have a wet rear end. All right. Where was I at? ADD is a terrible disease. Where was I at? Somebody tell me where I was at. Get me back on track. $50. Give me 50. Okay. And that started a process in me and Bonnie both, because we had to get used to taking stuff. But, you know, we had no problem giving, but we had a problem taking. And so it's kept going on until the last thing happened about a month ago. Someone comes to the house and says, "God told me to give that to you." And I look at it, and there are too many zeros. Another check for $1,000. And I'm like, "Dude, are you nuts?" He's like, I know. When I heard it, I said, "That's a lot of money." And he said, "But I feel strongly I should give this to you." Well, the thing was, we were kind of out of the woods by that point. So I'm like, "Okay, cool, thank you." And we're good with taking it, because I knew there's a reason. And what do you know? People start getting sick around us. People start having crises. Babies start being born way, way, way early. There's gas that needs to be bought. And guess what I got? I got $1,000 extra so I can put it here, I can put it there, and let God's economy start working through me. And that's what we have to keep in mind. You know, God's economy runs on us. It doesn't care about the stock market. It doesn't care about the European Union. It doesn't care about gas prices. God's economy runs regardless of what else is going on. It just keeps running. And we fuel it. And when we put into it, it comes out over here. When it comes out over here, spiritual houses start being built. Because what does God say? Where are we building treasure? In heaven. And if we start being radically generous here, there's going to be housing boom in heaven, and there ain't going to be no bubble. It's never going to go away. There's going to be just mansions everywhere. Just whoosh. God will say, I don't remember that. God's going to... If you need an interpreter for tongues, I am going to interpret that as God saying, you go, boy. Yeah. God's going to look at that field over there and say, Peter, where do all the houses come from?
They're giving away tons of money on earth. They're just building heaven everywhere.
So... And money's not only about your time. Am I safe? You want me to turn it off? Speak to me, Lord. Woo. The monster is kicking in from this morning. I love second service. All right. Time. It's not all about money. It's about time. Because this week, God has been working on me. He's like, you will preach on generosity? Let's put it to you. The first thing that happened last week, Snow Hills Reunion, we got to get up there. I got to get in here. I got to work downstairs, second service, because I believe in being a servant here and giving away time. And wouldn't you know it, I'm going out the door, and something's the matter with my pants. They got weak thread because buttons keep popping. My button pops off. So I'm like, I got to go home. And as I'm going out of home, I see the luncheon up here for Emily Hicks' mission trip. And I'm thinking, I got to take some money back there. And I ain't got no cash because I don't carry cash. So I got to go to the ATM. Got to change pants. I'm finally coming back. I run up here. Can't talk to anybody. Throw the money in the pot. Run downstairs. Somebody's on the sidewalk saying, sir, can you tell us where CVS, a young couple, can you tell us where CVS is at? I'm like, well, it's about a mile that way. I'm like, just get in the car, I'll take you. So they're like, really? You go do that? I'm like, yeah, get in. Come on. And so they tell me they're from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, somewhere up there. I said, if I'm a Steelers fan, I say, no, but my boss is. And, you know, they're blown away by my generosity. And they got out of the car at CVS, and I'm like, you're not going to get a ride like this in Pittsburgh, are you? And they're like, no, we're not. We love this small town. So anybody know where I'm going with that? Your elder took the robbers to CVS last Sunday. Yeah, me. Right out here, I picked them up. They are the nicest armed robbers I have ever met. Yeah. Yeah. Now, you're saying this is a cautionary tale about picking up hitchhikers. I've already got my lecture from Malachi Go this morning. He comes in, he goes, did you take the robbers to CVS? Yeah. Don't ever pick up hitchhikers. I'm like, but God had me. It's all right. They're nice. He's like, don't ever pick up hitchhikers. So I've got my lecture from the goads. But I'm telling you, I was in there with robbers, and it was good. They were nice. I was taken care of. Sometimes you can't be afraid to take a step out and do something dangerous. God will take care of you. The police chief thanked me. He's like, dude. And you know how I know God was in the whole thing? I was late for getting up there, and the food was going away. I know this. And so I get down there to CVS. I'm like, here you go. In my back of my head, I'm going, tell them to go in and get what they need, and you'll wait for them. But another thought said, no, you're late. Go. It's okay. You've done enough. God took care of me, because if I had to take him away, then in fact I would have been aiding and abetting. Because I had no knowledge of them beforehand, I'm legally free. I've given my statement to the detective. It's clear. All right, so this kind of stuff goes on all week long. I keep saying, I've got the sermon in my head, and I got to get it down because I got to get notes in here. Mike's out of town. I can't let Mike down. I'm going to be organized. This one time, I'm going to keep it under 20 minutes. I had 13 pages. And I'm trying to work on it all week. Well, everybody keeps asking me to do stuff. People want my lunch hour. They want me to shift my lunch hour the next day because I was going to work on it at lunch. That's my plan. Didn't work at lunch. I was going to work on it at night. Stuff kept happening. People kept wanting stuff from me, and I kept giving it. And on one hand, I feel like I'm dishonoring God because I'm not maintaining my priorities and keeping first things first. But I had a peace about it, and it's kind of like God was saying, listen, you give your time away. I got your back on this. I'll fix it for you. Trust me. Watch this. And I'm like, okay. So Thursday's my night off from the carnival. I'm a fireman. I'm already giving my time for people because when their house burns, I go run into it. You know, that tells you my intellect. And then I have to raise money to buy the stuff to run into the house. So I'm being generous already. And then people want more from me. So I give more. And God's saying, it's okay. I'll help you. So that goes on the whole week. Thursday night, my night off. Wouldn't you know, I promised Mount Olivet Church that I would do their vacation Bible school and spray their kids with water on Thursday night. So I'm like, okay, I'll go over there. I'll turn the pressure up high. I'll like blast them, they'll scream, run away. 5 minutes, I'm out. It didn't work. My kids went with me, so I couldn't really blast them. And they gave us ice cream, so we hung out, did some fellowship. It was cool. And then it's the first night of carnival. Well, how many firemen's kids, one benefit we get is free armbands. You ever tried to keep a 6'4 and a 2-year-old out of the carnival with free armbands? Ain't gonna happen. So I chose to invest in my kids' life that night instead of taking it for the sermon. And it worked. We had a good time. The kids had time and bonding with Daddy. It was the right thing to do. So I'm on to Friday night. Friday night's beginning of lawnmower races. How many people come to the lawnmower races? Okay. I ain't going to say anything about lawnmower racing. But it's busy. I don't have time Friday night. Saturday, I finally get 2 hours in a coffee shop. I'm thinking I need 20 minutes. And I kept getting little points of my sermon. We did a webinar with Joel Sangle. I got my four main points from that. The coffee shop was great. And somehow I turned out with 13 pages. So I got that. And I'm like, last night, I'm like, okay, here's what I'll do. I will work the gate now, run home and finish up. Because I got to get stuff in. Well, 9 o'clock come, couldn't do it. Then it's 10, and then it's fireworks at 11. So I can't leave Bonnie and the kids again, so I'll watch fireworks at 11. I'll go home at 11. Well, there's this guy that I've been watching walking around the carnival, and he's real hard to miss. And I saw his picture in the paper a few months ago for doing something pretty bad, and I'm watching him. Well, who is standing in front of the gatehouse with his family when I roll back in at 11:30 just to make one little check? That's right, this dude. And so I kind of walk up and I'm like, y'all need a ride? They're like, yeah, we've been waiting on a ride for 20 minutes. I'm like, where you live? Across from Lowe's in that trail park. I'm like, okay, get in. So I take him. And this is the dude I'm scared of. Because I read in the paper what he did, and pretty bad. And you don't know what he told me on the way home? Introduced himself, shook my hand, said, you got a headlight out. I don't want you to get a ticket. You ought to get that fixed. I'm like, thank you. And he's getting out of my car. He shook my hand and said, Travis, be careful. I'm like, thank you. Your name. I won't use it. And it was like another thing where God can use you. And robbers and felons aside, it's all right to be dangerous sometimes. It's all right. God will take care of you. Sometimes he won't, and I'm not responsible for that in any way, anything you do as a result of my sermon. But in my experience, God has taken care of me, and he'll take care of you with your money, too. When you do something dangerous or what everybody else says is stupid with your money, God will take care of you because God has taken care of me time and time and time and time again. I can't tell you all the ways I've been stupid because it'd take too long, and I'm already running over. But let me tell you, I have been stupid enough to see God step in and work. And for those of you who are wise and you never made any bad choices, I'd say go ahead and make a few and see what God can, you know, not morally bad, just risky or dangerous. Try something you think is foolish, like giving away a large sum of money when you don't know how you're going to pay your next bill. Bonnie is great at this because last year we were going to pay off our car and with our tax refund, and I hear about a need, and I'm like, Bonnie, I don't think we can pay off our car. We need to give away this money. She's like, okay. I love that about her. I love that about her. And you know what? They didn't actually need as much money, and we had just enough to pay off our car anyway. So God will take care of you if you do dangerous or risky things. Now, the 4 points I got about giving. What keeps you from giving? There are 4 reasons that people won't give. The first one is you don't trust your leaders. That's okay, and I'll tell you why in a minute. The second one is you don't know what God says about giving. The third one is you're disobeying. Can't do much with that, but I'll talk to you about it. The fourth one is, you're broke. You don't have any money to give if you wanted to give money. So I'm going to help you with 3 of your 4 problems this morning. And again, all that I said, am I bragging? Yeah, I'm boasting in the Lord because the Lord did every bit of that to my family, through my family, and with my family. I am in none of that. I am not that generous at my base. I am not that giving. I am like a 5-year-old. It's all me, my, mine. And only by following God and trying to stay close to him will I do that. And that's the only way you can do it. Because naturally, we're not like that. Just look at my 2-year-old when he gets a toy taken from him. That is a great demonstration for naturalness. Now, leadership. Should you trust your leaders? No. And it's coming out of the Bible. In Psalm 118:8, it says, it's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Have you got Psalm 4:1-4:8? Because I didn't write it down. I missed it the first service. When I call, give me answers, God. Take my side. Once in a tight place you gave me room. Now I'm in trouble again. Grace me, hear me. Okay, that don't fit at all. Forget that one. And again, I said, I did this like at 1:30 in the morning, so don't hold me to that one. I get a mulligan. It's like golf. Let's go on to Matthew 19:16-17, and then 20 and 21. Jesus told a parable, and he said, behold, one came and said to him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, why are you calling me good? There's none good but one, and that's God. But if you will enter the life of God, just do what he tells you. And in 20 and 21, the young man said, I've done all those commandments. What's left? If you want to give it all you've got, Jesus replied, go sell your possessions, give everything to the poor. All your wealth will then be in heaven. Then come follow me. So Jesus is talking to us twice there. He's just saying, I'm not good. There are none good here. And you need to give all your stuff away if you really want to follow me. Do you trust in man? No, men let you down. But we still need to have a level of your trust in the leadership. And I'm going to ask you, if you don't trust the leadership here, you might need to go somewhere where you do trust the leadership because you're not getting as much out of church as you could. But let me tell you about what goes on behind the scenes here, how we lead this church. We got an admin team, and they take care of the business of running the church, the spending of the money, the stuff we do. And you don't get much past those guys because they're tight. Ron Catron is the kind of the head of the admin team. You can't get him to spend no money. So he's not going to waste money.
they think very thoroughly about what all we do with this church and what's it mean for this church in 10 years. You got Chris Porter over there. He's a financial guru, and he's thinking way down the road. And then you got elders. You got me, Mark Robinson, Glenn Dix, and Ben Smith, and Mike. And we can't agree on nothing. Mike will have an idea. We'll say, no, I don't like it. I want to do it this way. And then Glenn will say, I don't really like it that way. And then I'll say something because I'm as off the wall as they come. I'm that guy that has those ideas. And they'll all just look at me. And so that's a good thing because you don't want, yes, sir, yes, sir, anything you think, sir, I'm in it. You don't want that. You want lots of people thinking, lots of people coming to God's will, not his will, because if you trust him, he will go away that you don't want him to go. But if we all pull together and try and do God's will, and I think we do, the only quick decision I've ever seen us make is when we, how many remember that offering we gave at Christmas to the free medical clinic? How much was it? After we matched it. See, there's, let me tell you about, let me go Jerry Springer to you. I'll let you in on the family. Because Glenn, it was on Glenn's heart to do this. Glenn says, I want to give. I want to take up an offering. I want to do a love offering. Mike says, any love offering we've ever done is not showing much love. Because people don't come prepared. But Glenn kept fighting for it. And Mike started talking about it over a few Sundays, give people time to prepare, go to the ATM, whatever. Well, and we also said, we want to match. And Mike's like, I don't know how much we can match. We'll see when we get the offering. And so what did the offering turn out to be? $10,000. So we roll into the elders meeting, and Mike's like, how much are we going to match? And all the elders like, all of it. Yeah, the mission budget is over here. And we're like, all of it. And Mike said, you're right. Let's do all of it. So we gave in one offering, we took $20,000 to free medical clinic. And I've been told that that was a game changer for them. We changed their year out of our generosity. That's your leadership. I feel you can trust us, but I'm not telling you to trust us because the Bible says don't trust man. I'm saying trust God. Now, that's our second point. Do you know what God says about giving? Because if the leadership may mess up, you go to God about how you should give. So let's see what God says. First thing, everybody get out the offering envelope in front of you. Hold it up. There's like one at every third seat. So whoever has one in front of you, hold it up. Hold it up high. Everybody, show it to people on the left. Show it to people on the right. All right, now, let's read together in the bottom corner. On three, one, two, three. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Thank you. Thank you. So, that's out of the Bible. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 20. Tell those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God who piles on all the riches we could ever manage to do good, to be rich in helping others, and to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasure that will last, gaining life that is truly life. 20 and 21. And oh, dear Timothy, guard the treasure you were given. Guard it with your life. Avoid the talk show religion and the practice confusion of the so-called experts. People get caught up in a lot of talk and can miss the whole point of faith. Overwhelming grace keep you. Let's go on to Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And finally, Matthew 6, 19 through 21.
Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Now, there was one thing back there that said, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, I talked about the money people gave me, but for a long time we've been giving money. We've been doing our tithe. When there was extra need, we would give. And am I going to stand here this morning and say every dollar you give the Lord will come back to you in double, and all you got to do is start doing this and you'll be rich? Is that what I'm saying, Jimmy? Am I saying if you need a new car, name it and claim it, stand on the name of Jesus and say, I need my car? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is God said it through the Bible, you will be rewarded if you give. You may not be rich. You may not have a new Beamer. You may not have a 60-inch Vizio LCD flat-screen TV in your living room. But you will have what you need, and you will be blessed in the time you need it. I guarantee you. And I can stand on it. The Bible even says in Malachi, I was going to issue a challenge this morning, but as I got into this, I saw this is worth more than my little informative talk. We're going to do a series on this. Because in Malachi, it's the place in the Bible where God says, go ahead, test me on this. God gives us free will to test him. Says, test me on this. See if you start to give that I don't overflow your storehouses. And we're going to do a series on that. Because God says, I will do this for you. You're not going to be rich, and that's not what it's about. Riches lead to hellfire in the most times if people keep them to the hurt of themselves. But you will have what you need in the times you need it if you start practicing generosity. And if you start practicing radical generosity, what are the solutions that will come to you when you need them? Radical solutions. You will see God move in ways that you've never seen before. Not like you want it or like you imagine it, because we can't imagine the stuff he does. But you will be rewarded. Now, let's go on to the third thing. If you're disobeying God, what am I supposed to do about that? You know what to do. But there's two kinds of disobeying. One, the first kind of disobey in the Bible, the translation means you mishear. You just didn't understand exactly what he was saying. You misheard it. That kind of disobeying, I think God can get over that. Because when I tell my kids to go do something, they're like, you know, I'm spanking them. I didn't hear you. And now I realize I didn't. They really didn't hear me, and I feel like the biggest jerk in the world, and I have to apologize to my kids. That's one kind of disobeying. But then there's the other kind that I don't have to apologize for. When they know what I said, and they went right straight and did it anyway and then lied to me about it, oh, I'm not going to take that. And God's not either. The Greek word apatheia is derived from Greek root number 545, apathies, which is translated disobedient six times. It means unyielding, not compliant, and contumacious. Did anybody know what contumacious meant? Good. I didn't either. It means obstinately disobedient or rebellious. So are you being obstinately disobedient or rebellious with God? Do you know what he's telling you, but you're not doing it anyway? If that's you, there's nothing I can do for you. You got to confess it to God, leave it alone. I'll help you walk back from it if you want to talk about it. But you got to just stop doing that. Because God will be like me with my two-year-old. I will pick him up and swat his behind. And you don't want God to do that because he hits a lot harder than I do. I have been spanked. I do not like it. Now, so those are three reasons. The last one, you're broke, okay? What are you going to do if you're broke? You going to give him money? Uh-uh. Are you going to buy someone a car if they need it? Uh-uh. Are you going to do anything? Uh-uh. How many people in here are living paycheck to paycheck? You can go ahead and raise your hands. I ain't be embarrassed by it this time. I am, because by the time I pay my, we bought a building in downtown Galax, remodeled the top of it,
everybody we knew thought we were crazy. Mike Ayers even, I walked him up there and he said, did God tell you to do this? Because God would have to tell me to do this. It was a dump. Spider webs, dead birds. There was dry cleaning hanging in there from 1973 still in the bag. It was bad. But we remodeled it. And the pavement is big, but now we've got a youth group meeting from the First Methodist Church underneath. They rent it out. And we're able to give them half price rent so that they can get it going. And that's what I want to do with that building. But it is hard to make it every week. And some weeks, groceries take it a back seat because I'll come home and there'll be no juice in the refrigerator and there'll be no peanut butter, which is a major crime, and no bread either and no milk. I'm like, Bonnie, have you not been to... She's like, I've not been to the grocery store because I don't have any money till Friday. Okay, I'm good. And to go dig for the old saltines in the cabinet. So it's okay. Now, if that's you and that's me, I'm working on things. We've got our building up for sale now, so we're trying to change our finances. And if you're broke this morning, we have got people that can help you. Chris, is your small group still going on? He's going to have a small group this fall. He can tell you how to manage your finances so that you will have extra to be able to give. And that's the first thing you should start doing anyway, is start to give. Because I've been in a place when I stopped giving, when I first came back to God, and I was giving my little $25, $50 check every 2 weeks when I got paid. I thought I was big time. And then when I had some bills, I'm like, I can't keep giving this huge amount of money. And I'm going to stop for a while, and then I'll go back. When I stopped, I started having overdrawn checks, bills coming in, stuff breaking. I didn't have any money when I went back to tithing. And we have tithed consistently. Somehow, it's like the loaves and the fishes. I don't know how the money gets in our checking account. I don't know where it comes from, but we're able to pay our bills. And look at me. Am I starving? I'm not starving. My kids are not starving. We're all happy. We're all fed. We got good cars that don't break down all the time. We got a warm place to stay, and we can pay the power bill. That's good. And I am firmly convinced it goes back to our given habits, because some weeks I don't know how we make it. Well, I know how we make it sometimes, because Bonnie will call me. She's like, praise God, this check just showed up from some work you did a month ago, and it just showed up the amount we need today. That's how it works. That's how it works. So if you're broke, we can help you. We've got Josh and Karen Ramey, who are certified Dave Ramsey people. If you want to meet with them, we got Chris Porter. He can help you. We can help you out of that. Okay? Being broke is not a permanent thing. It's a temporary thing. And we can help you with that. Now, there's a term, as I was going through this, I got a book from Mike, and it talked about open-handed living. Now, everybody hold up your hands. Hold them up. Open them up. Do I have any trouble getting anything out of your hands? No. Close them up. How many people have tried to get a piece of candy away from a four-year-old? How hard is it? I have wrestled you get this finger, and you get this finger, and he shifts it. And then you got these two fingers, and he shifts it again. I've wrestled a four-year-old, for 5 minutes trying to get candy away from him when he don't want to give it up. So, I've got an object lesson. I need that monkey. Who wants to be a monkey? Yeah, you, come here. This is a monkey trap. Because the way you trap monkeys, this is a coconut, by the way. The way you trap monkeys is you put something the monkey wants inside this. And then the monkey sticks his hand in for the banana, grab it, make a fist. No, don't do that. You're not a smart monkey. You're a greedy monkey. Make a big fist like this. I got my monkey. I have trapped my monkey. Maybe I should have made the hole a little smaller for this particular monkey. But I have got my monkey because she won't let go of the banana. And what do I do to this monkey? I take you and sell you to the Illinois Zoo. Or worse. Did you know some people eat monkey brains? Yeah. So I just caught my monkey. She is going to death possibly because she won't let go of one banana. Let go of your banana. She lives through open-handed living. Okay? How many of us have got our hands or had our hands in this trap and we wouldn't let go? And Satan took us anywhere he wanted to take us because we wouldn't let go of our monkey trap. Okay? But if we just open our hands, we get out of the trap. And God is saying all the time, open your hands. I've got better for you than this banana in the trap. I've got much better for you, but you got to let go. Because they will take you and kill you with this one banana. Okay? If you're living like that, that's what I want you to take away from this morning. Be open-handed. If you're trying to hold on to something in your life right now, be it a relationship, money, or your time, open your hand and let it go. God will give you far better than what's in this trap. Okay? But sometimes we can't see that. So, if we live open-handedly, there's life. If you live close-handed, there's death and destruction. So remember that. Keep your hands open. It's not yours anyway. The clothes on your back, the car you drive, your house, and your money, who are they created by? God. It's not yours anyway. Stop trying to act like it. Your life will be much better when you don't get all jacked out of shape when somebody wants to take something from you. What's Jesus say? Somebody asks you to go a mile, go two. Somebody takes your coat, give them your shirt too. Somebody slaps you, give them another cheek. Same way. If you're holding on to something so tight, let it go. Let it go, no matter what it is. Okay? Because God will reward you on the backside with more than you can ever imagine. Okay. Now, we opened with Pink Floyd. And we're going to close with Lynyrd Skynyrd and Bob Dylan. We've got quotes. So this might be the strangest church service you've ever been to. And that's my job here. I am the strange one. From Lynyrd Skynyrd, he says, Lynyrd Skynyrd wasn't a man, was it? No, it was a group. The group Lynyrd Skynyrd says, forget your lust for rich man's gold. All that you need is in your soul. And you can do this if you try. All I want for you, my son, is to be satisfied. Okay, and finally, Bob Dylan. And Bonnie and I debated about this last night at 1:30 in the morning. And she really didn't know. And I want to know, how many people want me to do it with a Bob Dylan accent? From Bob Dylan, Masters of War. And Randy Kegley told me he thought I rated his 8-track case when I was doing these.
Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find when death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. That's Bob Dylan.
You quite possibly never will hear that done in church again. All the money you've made will never buy back your soul. Does everybody believe that this morning? All the money you have, you can't take it with you. The only thing you can do with it that's a reasonable thing to do is if you got extra, help somebody with it. Don't hoard it for yourself. Don't keep it where it can't do anything. I hear of churches who have reserves of hundreds, if not $1 million, and they keep it in reserve and live off the interest. That makes me disheartened. I think they should release it, do good with it, and let God give them some more. And that's what I hope for this church to do. And I know this church will do it, and I hope you'll do the same. Give away your extra. Bless God with it. That's the way you worship God. Bless other people with it. Do some good with it. Because I tell you, everybody's always said this, you get blessed more than the other person, and you can debate about that. But when you're able to go up to somebody and say, here, I want you to have this. And you remember I told you, okay, I'm over just a little bit. I'm going to tell you one more thing. You remember I told you, God said, relax, I'll give you all the points of your sermon? Well, last night I'm talking to Chief Clark at the carnival at like 10:30, and he starts telling me a story. I'm like, aha, here's the last part of the story. And I praise God for our police chief in this town because he is a good Christian man, and he gets it. And he's telling me about his wife. They went out somewhere, somebody was sick, and he loves Golden Corral. How many men love Golden Corral? Yeah, look at him. Yeah, yeah, all the meat you can eat in a chocolate fountain. But his wife doesn't like, oh, I know why now. She's the Weight Watchers person for this area, and she doesn't like Golden Corral. because you can't even calculate points on that stuff. They're like, bing, 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 bing. So anyway, she goes to Golden Corral for him, and this waitress comes up and starts talking to him. She goes, oh, I love that red leather jacket you got on. I'd love to have one like that. I love that. She just kept talking about it. And then she'd go away. She'd come back, and they kept talking to her. She's a single mom, working at Golden Corral, struggling to make ends meet. And they leave her a tip, and she says, oh, thank you so much for that. I'm going to start saving for my leather jacket. And his wife, Susan, said, you don't need a red leather jacket here. And took the red leather jacket off her back and gave it to her. That's radical, and that's generous, and it blessed that girl. And then they get back in the car, and Rick looks at her and is like, huh? And she's like, I can buy another red leather coat. It's not that big a deal. That is open-handed living. When you've got it, give it. Don't hold on to it. It's just going to hurt you. Okay? So let's pray. If you've got something that you're holding on to, if you're the monkey this morning, let go. And if you want help letting go, Mike's going to be at the cross. We'll pray with you. We'll get it done. We'll help you get on the road to open-handed living. But that's why I'm going to pray for you this morning. As you go out of here, look for opportunities to give, and I pray that God gives them to you. And I pray that they stretch you. I pray that when somebody says to you, or I pray when you get that inkling and God says, give them this money, you'll go, really? That's a lot of money. And you'll go ahead and do it. Be uncomfortable. Be uncomfortable. God doesn't want you to be comfortable. You can't do any good when you're comfortable. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the message you've given me, because you've blessed me immensely this week. You've shown me that you show up. You take care of me. You've got me. You've got my time. You've got my money. Lord, I'm praying for the person in here this morning that can't let go, that can't cross that bridge to radical generosity and be blessed and be rewarded. I pray for that person right now that their heart would just say, this is the morning. This is the morning. I give it up. I open my hand and I let go. I let go so that I can have more. I let go of whatever's holding me back. I want to bless. I want to be a force. I want to change this world for God through my generosity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've given this week. Thank you for keeping us safe through that storm. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
As a declaration, as an anthem, as a celebration, we're going to sing the song that we did before, Our God Saves. But we're going to start at the part of the song, and it's so awesome. Hear the joyful sound of our offering. As your saints bow down, as your people sing, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God reigns. Stand up as we celebrate.
Hear the joyful sound of our offering. As your saints bow down, as your people sing, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that. Yes, the world will see that. I know.
prayed for.